Glory be to the name of the Lord. Turning with me in your Bibles. Thank you, praise team, musicians. And thank the Lord tonight for growth. I'm thankful for growth and for all that God is doing and all he's going to do tonight. And Matthew 16, verse 24 through 26. And again, I just remind you, give Brother Bautista some time to get the headset on. But if you need Spanish translation, we're able to do that tonight. Matthew 16 and 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." Not your neighbor's cross. All the busybodies say amen. Ah, there we go. "Take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Notice this. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. Followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus. One more time. Would you just lift your voices? Come on. If you're at home, just begin to maybe type in pray right now. Just begin to pray. Let's just begin to pray. Father, we come before you. Your word is anointed. Your worship has been anointed, God. God, we've been praying and fasting, God. Lord, we're thankful for the power of your touch tonight. But oh God, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on your people, God. Ha! You said, God, if you would be lifted up, you would draw, oh God. And we lift up your name tonight and we give you praise. We give you glory, oh God. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. This same scripture setting is found in Mark chapter 8 and Luke chapter 9. Jesus used this picture of the followers taking up their cross and following him. The disciples knew what he was referring to. And crucifixion was a common Roman method of execution, and in a way for condemned criminals to get to their crucifixion site, they would carry their cross through the streets. And what we know that this took place, and this was real, and this happened, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in the flesh, this took place for him. But when Jesus died on the cross, he did it once and he did it for all. Amen. Come on, somebody. And being a follower of Jesus is all about faithfulness. We have talked about, I'm going to continue to talk about, but moving forward in faithfulness. This means that if we're following Jesus, we need to truly be a follower or a disciple of Jesus. To follow means to imitate. It means to accept the authority or give allegiance to. It's given an example of chasing. You're chasing after somebody or something. It's to go or come after or move behind in the same direction. Anybody ever play that game, follow the leader, in school? You ever play that game? You know, there used to be a song, follow the leader, the leader, the leader, you know, wherever they may go. Or Simon Says, right? Simon Says, clap your hands. Simon Says, say amen.
Amen.
And so you're following the leader. And so Jesus is telling his disciples that if you're going to be a follower of me, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after Jesus. We see that following has become very trendy. It has been something that we do on social media. We find ourselves following people that we don't even know because we're nosy, right? because we're interested in what, maybe because we're trollers, right? We're following them. We follow places and things and products, and they influence us. They influence us. You see somebody else with one of those fancy crock pots, the super crock pot or air fryer, whatever those things are, and then you're like, oh, honey, I got to have one, bigger and better, and you get one, and then it sits on the garage, and you end up giving it away for someone for Christmas the next year. It's because you were motivated by following somebody. Some of you will make a dessert. We were talking about fasting and talking about dessert, right? You'll make a dessert because somebody else made one. You're like, oh, goodness, their German chocolate cake is real small. Let me show them how to make one. You make a real big, gigantic one, right? The only way you know how. You post a picture of it. And it's just because we're following. And you have you ever followed somebody in a car? Remember the old-fashioned days, right, where there was no cell phones, no GPS, right? Even you had those big maps, right? You had to lay it out across. And you're following somebody, right? You're following after somebody. You were trusting that they were going to get you there. This was before Google Maps and before Siri. Can you imagine life before Google and Siri? But they would say, hey, follow me. And you would follow them. But Jesus is telling us tonight in the scripture, in the word, he's saying in Matthew 16:24, he says unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The first thing that we need to recognize is are we a true disciple? Just saying, right? A disciple is having behavior in accord with the rules or conduct. It's behavior in order maintained by training and control. But notice this. It's activity that develops or improves a skill. It's where we get the word, or that's discipline, excuse me. But a disciple, if you look up the word disciple, that's where we get the word discipline. But it's a follower of Christ. That's what it is. And so, since we've established what a disciple is and what discipline is, that means that we have to discipline our minds. We have to discipline our emotions. We have to discipline our spirits to say there are some things worth disciplining for in order for me to get to heaven. Amen. We need to apply the deny part. The scripture says to deny himself. And so that means that we renounce self-dependence or self-pursuits, and we need to understand that it is really not all about us. No se trata de ti. It's not always about us. I know that is so contrary to society and so contrary to even what we would know in modern times with YouTube, right? About you and Facebook, putting your face on there, and we would understand that there's images that we post and there's things that we see here in modern times where there's a lot of selfishness and narcissism all around us. And the scripture is saying that you have to deny yourself if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus. We need to ensure that we are not living our lives to satisfy the things of this world. Amen. To please the Lord is what we ought to be pursuing. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:24 that no man can serve two masters. He will hate the one or love the other, or he's going to cleave to one or despise the other. There's always been a pull on humanity to become distracted. It's just the way it is. And Galatians 5:17 tells us, if you're taking notes, this is a great scripture to highlight or circle. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The battle of the flesh is something that is not uncommon, but we cannot depend on ourselves. We need, I'm not afraid. I'm well, you say, yeah, I'm a big enough man. You say, yeah, you're big enough, Pastor, for sure. But I'm not afraid to say that I need Jesus. I need him. And the more of him I get, the more of him I want. And the more of him that I get, the more of him I realize that I need him. Can anybody testify that you need Jesus? Even the scripture began to tell us in Proverbs 20:21 and 2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So those folks that think that they're right, they got Bible for it. Right? In their own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. First point I want to make tonight, 2 points tonight. First point is deny yourselves. We got to deny ourselves. Some things are worth denying in order to obtain something greater. We got to deny ourselves. This means that we have to abstain. I know that's not a popular word in mainstream, but this is not mainstream. This is the house of God. But abstinence is still biblical. Come on, somebody. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That means if it even has the appearance, the outlook, the intention. It says to abstain from all appearance of evil. That don't want to just tell you that you don't need to go fact check or validate that it's evil. If it's even the appearance of evil, then we ought to stay away from it. 1 Peter 2:11. Notice what it says. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. That's denying ourselves. It's surrendering our selfish desires so that we can have peace and power with God. And we can get to that place that the scripture talks about. And Sister Christie's saying, what a day it's going to be. What was she singing? I'm talking about the day when we can gather in heaven with the saints of all the ages and begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of, where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. Come on, somebody. What a day it's going to be. But if we are followers of Christ, it's going to take discipline. And we got to, if we're going to be disciples, we got to deny ourselves some things. It means that I'm no longer trying to please me, that I'm not trying to satisfy me. This means that I'm not going to compromise or appease or flirt with the flesh or the works of the flesh or the thoughts of the flesh or the desires of the flesh. Notice what Galatians 5:19 tells us. It tells us, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. This means that this is what you get when you feed the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, on and on. I'm not gonna read it all. But notice this. And such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the past, Galatians 5:21, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. My intention tonight, our desire tonight, our pursuit tonight, is that if I'm going to call myself a Christian, if I'm going to call myself a Holy Ghost-filled Bible believer, then I need to make sure that I'm not just talking about it, but that I'm living it, that I am not just representing. I don't want to be a bad ambassador for Jesus. I want to make sure that when they see me, that they don't see somebody dressed up in a suit and talking about Jesus, 5 minutes of talking about him, and 24 hours later, doing everything that is so contrary to what Jesus would approve of or talk like. But I want it to be where they say, I don't know their name, I don't know where they're coming from, but there's something about them. They're different. I want what they have. Their light is shining. They don't talk like some people. They don't act like some people. They have compassion. discussion because they're followers of Jesus. Galatians 5 and 22 backs it up. But the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a disciple of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Temperance. And notice this. Powerful Bible verse. Galatians 5 and 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I must love what He loves. Psalm 11 and 7 says, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness." That means we ought to be loving righteousness. Don't you want to love what He loves? This means that I cannot love God and hate my neighbor. Just tell somebody, "Hey, neighbor." This means that I cannot love some people and not love others. But they're hard to love, Pastor. I know they're hard to love. I know. Look at them. I know. But look at you. Somebody say, "Look at me." God loves you. He loves you. Aren't you glad He loves you? John 13 and 34 tells us, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." You know what's convicting? This next Bible verse is convicting. "By this shall all men know you're my disciples." Not because you go down to the Pentecostal church. Not because you dress holy. Because you write a big check at missions conference night. No. It's that you love one another. It's convicting. I have to do better with that. You want to know how to do better? Homework assignment. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Read it. Oh, pray on it. Love is patient. Love is kind. All the impatient people say amen. Amen. Second point tonight is, it's not always going to be easy. Being a Christian is not going to be easy. Not easy, lemon squeezy. It's not easy. In fact, I want to be the first one to apologize to you. If some preacher or church or pastor told you that just because you were filled with His Spirit and baptized in Jesus' name, started going to church, that it was going to be easy. No, friend, not going to be easy. Religion is easy. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, all the way. But a real relationship is not easy. All the married people say amen, right? But it's worth it. All the married people better say amen, right? It's worth it. And having a relationship with the Lord is worth it. Being a follower of Jesus is worth it. Now this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. Everybody take it. Well, I don't take a deep breath because, you know, keep your mask on. But this is going to hurt. Somebody say it's going to hurt. Online, type in, it's going to hurt. 2 Timothy 3:12. Notice this. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Man, who? That means if God is preparing us or walking us through persecution, He'll take care of us. And I believe, here Pastor Pinero, I believe for the first time in my 43 years of living, we are seeing and or experiencing a form of persecution for the first time in tangible ways. And I believe that that's just the beginning. But let's not forget that there have been ages and years and decades, and even currently some of our brothers and sisters in other countries that are dealing with what we would call some real persecution. So let's just remember, if we're truly going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, there's going to be some times and some people and places and seasons where being a disciple, you say, man, did I sign up for this? Well, the Bible says, he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. It's worth it being a follower of Jesus. Notice this, Matthew 5 and 45. He maketh the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. Just being a follower of Jesus does not exclude you from trials and tribulations and bad, what we would define as bad days. Oh, I just had a bad day. Ah, right? But sis, no matter if it's a good day or a bad day, it's still the day the Lord has made. And as a follower of Jesus, we got to recognize and say, you know what? He had this day intended for me. I may have made some bad choices. I may have tried to do the best that I could. And it, by definition, it's a bad day. But guess what the scripture says? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why don't we do that right now? Why don't we rejoice before the Lord our God? Hallelujah! Thank you for this day, oh God! Being a disciple or a follower of Jesus is not for the faint of heart. Doesn't mean you get it all right all the time. It means that you daily will have to pick up your cross and follow Him. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? That means you're going to have to pray. And after you prayed, you got to pray some more. And after you've prayed some more, you pray some more. And the scripture says pray without ceasing. But we have to ensure that we keep our minds and our emotions and our spirit in check. And not having to call somebody and say, is it okay to do this? Is it okay to do that? No, you can't live your relationship with the Lord like that forever. When you're a brand new convert, a brand new disciple, that's what happens. Having an elder or mentors in your walk with God. But saints of God, right now God has positioned and equipped us as a local church body, but as the church here, the end time church, that we are enlisted in the Lord's army, and He's about to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and He's about to do some things that have only been prophesied about, and it is a great time to be a follower of Jesus. But this means that we do everything we can to please Him. This means that we are engaged with Him. We're engaged with His Word, we're engaged with His people, and we're engaged with His Spirit. It means that engaged means you're involved. It means you're committed. I talked about it on the other night on Sunday morning. Now you're going to hear Pastor talk a lot about engagement. If you're online, you can be more engaged online than some people will be in person. Amen. Right? Just because just because you're sitting in front of the preacher doesn't mean you're engaged with what's taking place. There's a lot of folks that are having church at home, having real Bible study and relationship with God at home. So we got to get in that mindset. What are you saying, Pastor? I don't have to come to church. No, I'm telling you, if you're going to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus, you're going to have to be engaged with him. There's going to be times that you're not going to be able to come into a location or a building, but that does not excuse us to quarantine or isolate ourselves from the engagement of the spirit, of the body, or the word of God. But we're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. Whether I'm in the building, outside, inside, online, offline, when I have to work and I got to listen later, but I'm engaged with the Lord. He loves me, but more than that, I love him. That means that we pay attention. We participate, we listen, we follow Jesus. So let me ask you, are you engaged? Somebody said, I wish I was engaged. Prophesy to me, Pastor. Are you engaged spiritually? Can you do better? How many wants to do better this week? How many are going to attempt to do better? Is your spiritual relationship reflective of that? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Are you going to fast tomorrow, or have you already fasted this week? Bible tells us in Psalm 119:9, how or wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Notice this. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Are we living a holy life? Are we living a holy life that's engaging to the scriptures internally and externally? Are we being a good steward with what God has entrusted to us? What kind of spiritual fruit are we producing? Or are we acting like religious nuts? If we're a follower of Jesus, we hate what he hates. We hate what he hates. Proverbs 6:16 tells us, notice this, six things that the Lord hates. Notice this, verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in the running to mischief, troublemakers. He don't like troublemakers. Don't be a troublemaker. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. But what does he require of us? Notice what Micah 6:8 tells us. Oh man, what is good? What doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, righteousness. Righteousness. To love mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you don't give mercy, you don't get mercy. Come on, somebody. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Notice this. And to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what a disciple or a follower of Jesus will put into practice. I gotta give myself to him. John tells us, Brother Ronnie read it this evening, John 15:4, abide in me, and I in you. When you abide, you remain. You stay. You don't quit. Say, well, I don't like this season. Right? Apple tree says, I don't like winter time. Apple tree's got to stay through the winter. Winter, spring, summer, fall. He's got to stick with it all. Right? Got to stick with it. Got to stick with it. You got to abide. Got to stay in the church. Or something a little bit more relevant, you have to stick with the church. You have to engage with the church. Come on, somebody. You got to be faithful with the church. We got to abide with the church. We got to remain with the church. Somebody say, I'm going to remain with Jesus. I'm going to stick with Jesus. He's done too much for me to quit or bail out now. I'm not perfect. Not going to be perfect till I get to heaven. But I'm going to endure until the end because I'm a real follower of Jesus. You're intentional when you follow somebody. Except you abide in the vine. You cannot do no more except you abide in him. It's just the way it is. When we follow Jesus, we do what Matthew 6 and 33 tells us. To seek ye first the kingdom. He's a jealous God. Some of us are jealous people, but we're jealous about temporary things. We're jealous about materialism and the house and the job, and we're controlling of certain things. But the Lord is like that about us. He just wants us. He wants our heart. He's given us 90% of our income. He just wants 10%. He's given us the power of choice and will. He just wants our heart. He just wants us to make time for him, to talk to him. You get lonely, maybe the Lord gets lonely. You got things you give to people and they don't say thank you. He gives us the gift of life every day. Do we ever say thank you for the gift of life, let alone thank the Lord for my food? I'm a follower of Jesus. It's a kingdom of power. It's a kingdom that transforms people. It's a kingdom that's worth putting first. When I follow Jesus, I seek after him. The psalmist says in Psalm 63 and 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and a thirsty land when there is no water. When I follow Jesus, I'm submitted to him. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says that we shall love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, all my might. I love him with every fiber that is with me. If the musicians would come, let's get back to the beginning when I talked about following somebody in a car. We trust when somebody says, follow me. Get back in the car. He just said to follow him, honey. So we're going to follow him. You know this guy? No, but we're going to follow him. Along the way, some of us following Jesus have gotten distracted because you begin to follow at a distance. You were trying to sightsee by the distractions that were around you. You were weaving and you thought you knew a better way, shortcut. But you're getting left behind. Get caught up. Stay caught up before it's too late. If you ever get lost, you're trying to feel your way, you meander through. And us men think, because we don't want to ask for help or directions, right? Most of us. And so we spend a lot of time and energy frustrating ourselves. But it don't have to be that way with the relationship with the Lord. I think sometimes we're literally wearing masks now, but some folks have been wearing a mask for a long time. Hiding things from people, pretending, more worried about the opinions and perspectives of other people and the optics of what they may perceive versus what God really knows. No bueno. Some of us have gotten lost on our journey towards heaven. You're like the lost coin. You got lost in the church. You took the side road. You took a shortcut. You got caught up by your surroundings. Maybe you got a little relapse. Maybe you got addicted. Maybe you got offended. Maybe you thought you knew better. Maybe pride stepped in. Perhaps it was the misfortune of life. I got great news for you this evening. 1 Peter 5:7, as we stand, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Just start stepping forward and start following Jesus again. You can do it. You know what the great thing? There is a great thing about what's taken place over the last 11 months. Is not even I know 100% who's coming and who's going. You think about it. You could have come back 9 months ago. The only one that truly knows is you and the Lord. How awesome is that? But what an opportunity we have tonight. What an opportunity we have tonight to cast all of our cares upon Him. For He careth for us. Where else are we going to go? Where else are we going to turn to? So Jesus asked the Apostle Peter, I didn't give this to them, but I feel this in the Holy Ghost. John 6:68-69, Jesus asked the Apostle Peter, powerful Bible verse, John 6:68-69, and he asked the Apostle Peter, will you turn away also? The Apostle Peter says, Lord, whom shall we go? Where else are we going to go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? Who else are we going to turn to? What else is going to fill that void in our life but the Lord? Come on, somebody. You've tried everything else. And everything else has failed. We don't need to try Jesus. We need to just get Jesus and stick with Jesus, because we're going to be followers of Him.